Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Scooter Lane.
And I'm Patrick Beja. I'm tired.
Aw, Patrick. Is it dad stuff? Because I think that's why our next person is
tired. Yeah, it kind of is dad stuff.
I too am tired, but I come from the fringes of the LA Empire.
And you are?
Oh, that's right. My name, Roger. My name is Roger.
That's how you really know someone's tired. They're like, who? I don't know.
He's trying to one-up you, Patrick.
Somebody.
It's the battle of the dads. We got three dads on the show today. Microsoft's in the middle of announcing things, so Rich Straffolino has agreed to keep an eye on the Microsoft announcements and surface every once in a while to tell us what they're announcing. Thank you, Rich.
No problem, Tom.
Rich, we have something we'll be talking about in a couple of minutes, right? It took them like 25 minutes to actually
announce something, Tom.
All right, good. We'll get to the first round of Microsoft stuff in a minute, but let's start with a few other tech things you should know.
Tencent Music Entertainment Group formally filed an IPO in the United States under the symbol TME in what could be the biggest U.S. IPO by a Chinese company ever to date. In a filing with the SEC, Tencent Music reported a profit of $263 million on revenue of $1.3 billion for the last 6 months ending June 30th.
Ever sounded really exciting, and then to date kind of brought it down a little bit. I'm disappointed.
Well, I mean, I was going to say that.
No, it's true. Apple is now integrating university student ID cards into its wallet, the company's contactless payment system on the Apple Watch and the iPhone. The first schools to come online are Duke University, the University of Alabama, and the University of Oklahoma. Apple first announced the integration back in June at WWDC.
In response to a surprise complaint by engineer Eric Swildens, the U.S. Patent and Trade Office has rejected almost all 56 claims, basically 53 claims, all but three, in Waymo's patent suit against Uber. The USPTO found that some claims replicated technology described in an earlier patent from LiDAR vendor Velodyne, while another claim was simply impossible and quote-unquote magic. Swildens, who doesn't work for any of the companies in question, says he became interested in the LiDAR patents when it surfaced during the Uber case, and he saw how simple Waymo's LiDAR circuit seemed to be.
All that was needed was just someone to complain.
Do you believe in magic? No. Eric Swildens did not, and so he complained.
If you don't live in Japan, or even if you do, you may not have realized that GeoCities continued as part of Yahoo Japan long after it shut down for the rest of the world. That ends this March as Yahoo Japan. I know. I'm sorry. It's kind of like the ever and to date thing. It's disappointing. That ends this March as Yahoo Japan announced it will shut down the service after 22 years.
I'm sad that I'm just learning that GeoCities was still available. I could have walked down good
That's
old
amazing.
Athens neighborhood one last time. Well, I guess I have till March. I can try to do that. Yeah.
Will you?
I might. Don't challenge me, Patrick. I'll do it.
It wasn't a challenge, though. It wasn't.
All right. Let's check in with Rich Straffolino and find out what Microsoft has announced so far in their ongoing announcement as we record this. Looks like we have a couple of things now, Rich.
The big news right now is the announced Surface Pro 6. This will come with 8th generation Intel CPUs. That means quad core, more than likely, a 12.3-inch display, up to 1 terabyte of SSD storage, 13.5-hour battery life, weighs 1.7 pounds, a redesigned thermal system, and, notably, available in jet black.
So the rumors that, or the leak we saw of Microsoft putting out black colored devices is true. I didn't get that excited about that leak. I'm like, okay. And the other thing that I had seen speculated is that we weren't going to get a big design change. These were just going to be pretty much spec bumps for what is at the current moment, a successful line for Microsoft. And that looks like what we've got.
Absolutely, Tim.
Price starts at $899, goes on sale October 16th. Now, it looks like there's also a Surface laptop. What do we know? Do we know anything yet about that?
I have not seen any details about that because the Verge live feed is not updating presently.
Oh, I'm finding something on TechCrunch about it. You might want to just look over at the articles as they get posted. Looks like
I will jump over.
Yeah, it looks like we've got a Surface Laptop 2 coming out. So we'll let Rich dig into that and we'll move along and talk about some other things, but we'll keep checking in with Rich to find out a little bit more about the other Surface devices as they surface. Patrick, let's talk a little bit more about Chrome.
Well, Google announced a partnership with Ubisoft to bring the upcoming Assassin's Creed Odyssey to its Chrome browser for a limited number of users the same day the game comes out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The test is called Project Stream and is geared towards participants with a home internet connection of at least 25 megabits per second. Ubisoft is also experimenting with bringing the game to the Nintendo Switch in Japan via cloud servers. So video game streaming is everywhere.
Yeah, no, this is very cool. I like what they're doing here, which is we're going to demonstrate our technology for game streaming with a big name title at release date. That makes a big splash. And the way I guess they were able to convince Ubisoft to do this is to say, we'll limit the number of participants. We're not going to try to undermine your whole market here right out of the gate. It'll just be a beta test. So you're going to have a bunch of people scrambling to get these invites to try this out. How successful do you expect it to be, Patrick?
I think the big challenge now, I mean, video game streaming services, as we've talked about them many times on the show, they've been around for a while. The big challenge now is to try and reduce latency, which they kind of address in the announcement about this project. And we'd known they'd been working on it for a while, but they note that streaming video, as we know, is relatively easy because as long as you can buffer a couple of seconds or even a little bit more, then your internet's connection, basically losing quality is not going to be a problem. In mm-hmm. games, of course, you need to have good, reliable, instant latency. So if they manage to address that problem, then I think it could be very successful. And the really interesting thing is that they're not just launching a console or anything like that. You already have everything you need to play it. Basically, just Chrome. That's the biggest part of this announcement for me.
25 megabits per second doesn't seem like that's that fast. I mean, I know not everybody has access to that everywhere, but that is somewhat at the lower end of broadband these days, or at least more frequently it can be. You're seeing cable companies come out with 300, 400 megabits per second. You're seeing fiber in more places. So it does seem like this is fairly on the wider end. More people will be able to handle this than not.
Yeah, 25 megabits is definitely enough to stream some HD content. That's for sure. The big issue, as I was mentioning, is going to be latency. If you have an older, you know, type of connection, it might not be as fast as fiber connection.
Well, because I have two connections here. I have a business line that's 400 megabits per second for this stream, and then I have a home line, which is fused DSL for 50 megabits per second. I wonder what the latency on that is. I know I've done a speed test, but I don't remember now because I wasn't paying attention to it that closely on the day of install. I just wanted to make sure I was getting close to what I paid for download-wise. So that those fused lines might have latency issues that other lines wouldn't.
I mean, to be honest, if you have a decent latency, even if it's, you know, around 50 or 100, for a game like that, which is solo, it's still going to be playable.
Yeah.
The real trouble happens when you want to play multiplayer games.
All right. Question for everybody. When is the last time you swatted someone?
Oh, please, no. You mean flies or people? Because there's a whole big difference there.
Swatting is a term, at least in this story, meaning calling the police with a fake threat to get the SWAT team to respond to an unsuspecting target. It's not a nice thing to do. This often happens to video streamers so that the people who are being the perpetrators can watch the results in real time, live, on the video stream. This actually happens. The Seattle Police Department now says anybody worried about swatting happening to them can create a profile on a data management service called Rave Facility, run by Smart 911, and add a swatting concern tab to their profile. If you're worried about it, you add it to your profile, and it'll let 911 operators share that information with emergency responders.
Yeah, this is serious stuff. I mean, there are some people who've had their lives put in danger because somebody wanted to prank them.
Some people have died. It is incredibly dangerous. Obviously, the authorities respond thinking that there's, you know, someone holding people at gunpoint in a house. And it's happened that they would actually come in and think something was happening and shot. And we didn't quite know how to address it. So this is a very simple and hopefully very effective way of addressing this. If you get swatted, or if you think you might get swatted, you register, and when someone gets a call saying, hey, there's a hostage situation happening in this house, when they see this house is actually the home of a streamer that has registered, they're going to probably think twice about how to enter that situation.
Well, yeah, and Seattle PD made a point of saying this is not going to reduce our response time. This is not going to cause us to not respond. What it is more information for the respondents to know going in so that they can assess the situation and kind of look for signs. If you know you're going to the home of someone who does streaming, you're going to have a different mindset coming up to the door than you would otherwise.
And, you know, part of it is, you know, also police procedure. I mean, I think the Seattle PD is actually being very proactive here. There was a case in Wichita a couple of years ago where a guy was literally shot on his front porch. And unfortunately, he died when he was swatted. And the local SWAT team came, and unfortunately, they shot him. But it's one of those things where this is one of those things where policies and procedures definitely need to change, you know, regardless of, you know, what the situation. You cannot assume that what you think you hear is exactly what's happening. And it's unfortunate that we've come to this point where, you know, something that ostensibly should be fun to do, watching someone play a video game, now is involved in a very illegal. I mean, calling in a false crime is a, I'm not sure if it is a felony.
Oh, it's
in
a
most
felony.
Jurisdictions. So, yeah. I mean, it's not a joke, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we have to do this. But I think I you know, applaud the Seattle PD for taking these steps.
All right. Let's switch to something, if not happier, at least not involving death. Let's talk to Rich Straffolino about what's happening at the Microsoft announcement. What have they announced since we last spoke?
All right, Tom. So as you alluded to, they announced the Surface Laptop 2, which starts at either $899 or $999, according to CNET, has a 14.5-hour battery life, same design, but comes in that classy matte black, 8th-gen Intel CPUs, instant on, and Windows Hello support, and ships October 16th, perhaps most notably. There's also more details about the Windows 10 October 2018 update. Auto updates will be available starting October 9th, and it will support sending a text from a PC using either an Android or iOS device, a shared clipboard between PCs, and a dark theme in the File Explorer. CNET also reported that there is a picture of an updated, what appears to be an updated Surface Studio, in an official photo on Twitter. No one details as of yet.
Okay. So Roger, you were saying you wanted a Windows news out of this before the show. We got the auto update of Windows coming October 9th. And usually what happens with that is if you want it before October 9th, you can force the update. So I'm assuming that's the case this time as well. Anybody excited about these two Surface? I mean, we're talking 85% faster on the laptop too. You know, some nice spec bumps on the Surface Pro 6. But
well, and listen, I think. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, for me, the big news is quad core now across the entire Surface or across the Surface Pro and the Surface laptop. I think there was a big deficiency when you were looking at other laptops that were adopting the Intel 8th Gen. And I think it makes a big difference for making this, especially on a pro machine, something that's going to be called a pro, having that really would come in handy for photo or video editing.
Yeah. And both available in the color black.
Matte black, Tom.
Matte black. All right, a couple of things about from Facebook to talk about today. Facebook has followed YouTube and Twitch in letting video creators schedule pre-recorded video to stream at a certain time as if it was live. It's not just scheduling a post to go up, but you sort of make a big deal with a countdown. You can be in the chat room and everybody watches it at the same time as if it was streaming live, but it's pre-recorded. So Facebook's doing that now too. Twitch has done that for a long time. YouTube started doing it recently. Facebook calls their function Premieres. Facebook is also rolling out a top fans badge to all pages with more than 10,000 followers. So your most loyal fans can have a top fan badge on all their posts. Facebook released some anti-bullying tools as well. Users can hide or delete multiple comments at a time. You can now delete your own comments, and you can report bullying and harassment on behalf of other users. You can also appeal a decision to take down your comments for bullying if you feel that someone was actually harassing you by trying to get your comments taken down. And Facebook is testing the ability to search and block certain words from showing up in comments, though that feature has not yet launched yet.
All this is good. The most interesting thing for me is that Facebook is not letting go or giving up on their video efforts. Obviously, they wouldn't, but anecdotally, I haven't seen a huge pickup on them, with the exception of a couple of dedicated people who might have been, I don't want to say paid by Facebook, but certainly it looked like they were very enthusiastic about that platform when no one else was, but they're still going, and I guess as they should, because video seems like the one last part of the internet that they haven't completely dominated, so it's not that surprising.
Anything else on the Facebook stuff here before we move on? All right, let's talk about some Opera.
I guess we can talk about Opera, which launched its Opera Touch browser to iOS after launching on Android back in April. It's optimized for one-hand use, letting you open or close tabs, switch to search, go back or forward using a menu bar located at the bottom of the screen. This app, the app also includes Opera's Flow technology, which lets a user pass link, images, and notes from their phone to an Opera browser on their computer using a secure and private connection.
I actually tried this out earlier. It's great. I love it. I've always liked the Opera browser, at least on the desktop. And having an option that's not Safari on iOS is, I appreciate.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys.
With good credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Get that. And, you know, the one-handed thing with this large phone that I have is like not really happening. However, I like the UI in general, and I, you know, I like the Opera team.
So that's the big question about any browser that Opera ever puts out. Everyone likes them. Everyone agrees they are really innovative and interesting.
Great team.
Yeah. And then no one uses them. And I say no one, I understand some people.
Not many. I mean, not a large
number. I think a fair amount of people use the Opera browser, at least on, you know, on OS X.
Okay. Will you?
I do.
Okay, excellent. Then
I mean, it's at least one of the browsers that I use in general. Like, hey,
on a regular basis.
Like open up Opera. It's definitely in my rotation. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. The problem with iOS is that you can't reset your default like you can on macOS. So on macOS, I use Chrome because my default browser can be Chrome. On iOS, I use Safari because I can't change the default. So even if I wanted to use Opera or Chrome or Firefox Focus or something else, I forget to launch it, and I have to launch it intentionally.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm not launching a browser from what you're describing from within some other app or a link all that often. I mean, Chrome is down in my main apps down on the bottom, you know, next to messages and my phone and, you know, this Chrome. So yeah, that doesn't happen that often, but you're right. I guess that is a shortcoming.
Well, let's find something that's not a shortcoming. That's actually an increase.
In fact, it is. Amazon announced it's raising its minimum wage for U.S. employees. That's more than 250,000 Amazon employees. That includes part-time and temporary employees, as well as another 100,000 seasonal employees to $15. $15 effective next month. The company said it will also start advocating for an increase to the federal minimum wage. The company is also raising wages for its British employees to a minimum of £10.50 for workers in London and £9.50 in the rest of the country in England. Target announced in its holiday hiring release it would raise the minimum hourly wage to $15 by 2020. And Walmart announced plans in January to raise its minimum wage to $11.
Okay, so this is somewhat of a financial labor market story than a tech story. But with Amazon getting so much heat here in the U.S., Senator Bernie Sanders had called them out for labor practices and was advocating for legislation to be passed targeting Amazon. It is interesting to note that there is low unemployment in the U.S., some of the lowest since the economic recovery began back in 2008, and it is a tight labor market. So you have to pay people more to get them in a low unemployment market. So here we have an excellent opportunity for a huge positive press release for Amazon to say, well, in order to be competitive and make sure Walmart and Target don't get the employees that we want, let's pay them more and make a big deal about how we're raising our minimum wage. It's not a minimum wage. It's the lowest amount Amazon will pay people. It's minimum wages. I reserve that term for a legal concept where the law says you can't pay people below that. Anyway, I think this is an excellent press opportunity for Amazon.
So you think it is a recruitment issue that they were having or were thinking they might have in the future more than a reaction to the avalanche of negative press they've been getting in the past few
months? I don't think it has to be one or the other, but I think they kind of had to raise their amount anyway and saw it as a way to kill two birds with one stone.
Interesting. It's definitely a good thing, especially this might get people to forget a little bit about the potentially damning evidence about their issues with unions, or not their issues,
talked about this last week. Whole Foods particularly has battled against unions long before Amazon bought it, and now Amazon and Whole Foods teaming together are fighting against unions together, for sure.
Yeah. And so this is only positive, I guess, mostly for the actual workers who were, by all accounts, having pretty horrendous working conditions. At least now they'll be paid a little bit better. I'll just note, these issues are very public in Europe, or at least in France as well, and Amazon is under fire constantly for their working conditions. We do have minimum wage here, so maybe that's less of an issue, but the working conditions are being scrutinized very heavily.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, you keep saying working conditions, and nothing has changed in the working conditions with this announcement. They're just
getting paid
more.
I was saying at least they'll be paid more now.
And we have a minimum wage in the United States as well. You made it sound like you have one in France, and we don't. We do.
Yeah, we look at it and we think you have a lot of very little unemployment, but a lot of working poors, which that's
a whole separate issue about whether there is in fact a minimum wage or not, though. Those are two separate things.
I guess, anyway, very low minimum.
Maybe
wage,
you think our minimum wage isn't large enough. That's a different
thing. Okay. But another question, though, how much were they paid before? What was the Amazon minimum wage before? I don't think they mentioned this.
That people were paid. I thought I saw it somewhere as something like 12 an hour. Mm.
I think that's right.
That's
a substantial raise.
Yeah. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. And let's check in with Rich Straffolino. Do we have any more announcements coming out of Microsoft?
That's right, Tom. We have one announcement coming out in regards to Windows 10. So Roger should be extra happy here. Coming out with the October update will be the ability to mirror any Android app directly to Windows 10. Hmm. Microsoft's calling it creatively app mirroring.
Look, the folks at Daily Tech News Show are not going to criticize Microsoft for naming their app mirroring thing app mirroring. But yeah, that's cool. So that's not part of the Your Phone app. It sounds like it's a separate thing, but it's along those same lines of being able to take something on your phone and do it on Windows 10, which is pretty cool.
And possibly a move to combat Chrome OS kind of doing the same thing, not mirroring, but being able to run Android apps natively.
Yeah, yeah. And the Android apps run great on Chrome OS. I use that quite a bit.
Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit, Windows News, and all sorts of other news. You help us make our show better. Thank you. Submit stories and vote on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. And also facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow is another place that you can hang out and share stories with others. Okay, we got Chris Christensen back addressing the difference between American travelers and their European counterparts. Patrick, I know you're going to like this.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. This story is not necessarily as travel related, but I did see it in my travel news feeds. There's a study that came out about the difference between different countries and how they deal with issues like sharing data and who is persuasive to them. And two stats that I thought were interesting is in the U.S., 53% of adults are more than willing to share their personal data with a company that personalizes its product services. But as you go to the UK, Germany, and France, that goes down to 43%, 39%, and 36%. So Americans are much more willing to share their personal data. And then the other stat that was interesting is who do they find persuasive, whether they find digital resources more persuasive than their significant other. And with those four countries, again, only France found their significant other to be more persuasive, 55%. But in the US, UK, and Germany, we find digital resources more persuasive, 64%, 61%, and 52%. Interesting stats. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
You know, that's interesting, Patrick. What do you think of this?
So when we say persuasive, is persuading you to travel or getting information on the location you're going to? Or I guess it's a little bit of all.
Sort of like my wife said we should stay at this onsen, but TripAdvisor recommended a different one. So we're picking the TripAdvisor one.
Please note, I am French. I would like to think.
What? You're that, French?
Yeah, I know. It's surprising. I would like to think that this is because we have healthier partnerships in France. And so we listen to each other more and understand each other more. And that's going to be my line. And damn it, I'm going to stick with it.
Them's fighting words, or however you say that in French.
Well, what other explanation would you have, I wonder?
I don't know, but oh, look, the Surface Studio 2 has been announced, Rich.
Yes, that's right, Tom. And it comes with the same 28-inch screen, 22% brighter, and with 28% better contrast. It has pen input with 4,096 levels of pressure and improved ink latency. And hey, it comes with Pascal graphics that are 50% faster, which means it's probably still a mobile chip, and 2 terabytes of up to solid state storage.
You know, I wish Microsoft would announce their actual products the way you are announcing them for them. Be very
what can I say? Yeah.
Much more.
Yeah. Have you considered being an auctioneer?
I would love nothing more, Sarah.
So again, kind of it's an update, and it's a decent update. But now we're seeing why they didn't want to stream this, because it doesn't sound like anything is too crazy here. They could have done all this in a press release, I feel like.
I was initially thinking maybe they should have said initially that they weren't going to stream it, but they would have gotten the hype would have completely died down. And now they're still getting everyone who prepared for the live streaming, getting all of that, you know, reported with their live blogs and all of that. And so they're getting a lot of press. It's more savvy than I would have initially thought, I guess.
All right. Well, folks, we will get back to reading your emails in the mailbag tomorrow. But thank you for all of the great ideas after our quarterly hangout. We're going to have to go through and list them all out. Even if there's not stuff we can use as a milestone, they're just great ideas for segments, for specials that we want to do in there. So please keep the good ideas coming. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com.
Thanks to Patrick Beja for being with us this fine Tuesday. Patrick, how is everything going since we saw you last?
Well, it's going pretty well. I'm a little bit tired. My son is obviously being a baby, which he is. But other than that, I'm fine. Thank you for asking, Sarah. It's so kind.
Well, of course. And let folks know how they can keep up with the rest of your work.
Oh, right. Yes, I get it. Right.
I care. I care how you're doing, but I also want you to.
So if you enjoy video games, I would suggest that you go check out Pixels. It's my gaming show, which we do every couple of weeks. And the latest episode is about many things. But one of the things we talk about is Destiny 2, the latest expansion. I had given up on that game, and the latest expansion is pretty good. If you want to learn why, just listen to the show.
Thank you, Rich Straffolino. Of course, you'll hear Rich every once in a while filling in for Sarah and myself on Daily Tech Headlines. He hosts Technically Parenting, one of our DTNS Labs efforts that's going out. Rich, is there anything else you want to tell folks about?
Just that you can go to technicallyparenting.com and be redirected to a search for the Technically Parenting posts on Daily Tech News Show.
Folks, don't forget, we are operating 98% on your support. So it is crucial that if you have an extra dollar that you think this show is worth, send it our way. Patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We love your feedback. Keep it coming. You guys are the best, and you gals. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
We'll be back again tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.